fine line and fine words. Your poetry's been regularly featured on the radio, also in the press, in a couple of TV documentaries as well. So tell me about your poetry. Sir Paul McCartney says it sings like a summer breeze through the fairground. Tell me all about it.
Well, that's very, very kind of Paul. I was completely flabbergasted to find that I could write poetry. Really, I spent the majority of my life making money in commerce. Mm-hmm. I'm an ink on paper and a digital publisher here and in America. And I've travelled between Britain and America doing little more than concentrating on making money and having a great time in my life. And that's really what I did until I was about 52 or 53 years old. And I was pretty ill, and I began tentatively just to write one or two poems. And then in 2000, in October, the floodgates opened, and I discovered myself spending 3 hours a day writing and poetry or studying poetics. And I don't know where it came from. I've got absolutely no idea. It was almost supernatural. And the floodgates opened, and I started to write, and then publishers said, you could publish this stuff. And with my heart in my mouth, I did find a publisher and did publish it. First book was called A Glass Half Full, and it became a fantastic bestseller by poetry standards. I hasten to say, Ed, this is by poetry standards, which means it sold 10,000 copies. Which was incredible. And then we reprinted it, but so it's all taken off from there. It's just been a completely amazing journey that I was not expecting at this period in my life, because I'm now 66.
That sounds very disciplined to me, that you could set aside 2 hours a day. That's very specific, if you like. Does inspiration strike you at other times?
I carry a notebook at all times, and I jot down ideas, I jot down lines, and I wake up in the middle of the night with a line, or I wake up in the middle of the night with an idea. I did last night. I woke up this morning and looked over at the little notebook by the side of my bed. Mm. There I see I'd written about time being something that neither runs on nor runs out, except from the way that we look at it. And this happens all the time. But then I put aside at least 2 or 3 hours a day when I just work at it. You know, there's a great quote from mm-hmm. Mark Twain about writing. And his great quote about writing is that in his experience, and he was one of the most prolific writers of all time, in his experience, most inspiration for writers comes from the application of the seat of the pants to the seat of the chair. And I suspect Mr. Twain was right 100 years ago, and I think he's right now.
Absolutely. Well, you've been in Edinburgh, Keswick, Lincoln, then on to Cheltenham, and then to Amsterdam and Paris, in fact. So this is quite a big tour. How do you know when a poem's finished?
It's never finished. There's a very famous phrase from a Spanish poet that says, in essence, no poem is ever finished. Mm. It is finished with by its author. Uh-huh. And I believe that is true. I constantly revise my own poetry. But my poetry readings are not like many poetry readings. I've commissioned, because I'm lucky to have done well in business, in mm-hmm. commerce. Mm-hmm. I've commissioned a lot of young filmmakers, and they've made videos to go with many of my poems. I've also commissioned musicians, and they've created musical soundtracks to some of the poems. So if anyone comes along to the drill hall on Wednesday, they're not... It's not going to be like being at the back of the library with nine people listening. You're going to be entertained. It's a show. I try to turn poetry into a show, so that afterwards people would think, maybe poetry is more interesting than I thought. You know, I'm going to go and check it out.
Do your poems rhyme at all?
They absolutely do rhyme.
Right.
They absolutely do rhyme. I pay huge attention to the old forms.
Yeah.
Over the last 400 or 500 years, so they include sonnets, as you know that one, and ballads. Uh-huh. Then some you may not know, sestinas, villanelles, and so on. I don't write doggerel, I don't write limericks, But I do write nursery rhymes.
And so there's a selection of all of these forms in your presentation, let's say. Tom Wolfe describes you it as marvellous stuff, the best poet writing in the English language even. And I gather, do you have something that you could share with us now?
An old dog. An old dog is the best dog. A dog with roomy eyes. An old dog is the best dog. A dog grown sad and wise. Not one who snaps at bubbles. Not one who barks at nout. But a dog who knows your troubles. A dog to see you out. An old bitch is the best bitch. Not pups to fetch your sticks. An old bitch is the best bitch. Not one to teach new tricks. Not one who's up and leaping. But one whose coat is grey, legs twitching while she's sleeping in dreams of yesterday.
Oh, Felix Dennis there, who will be presenting his poetry to you maybe at the Lincoln Drill Hall tonight. 8 o'clock for poetry, doors open, and fine wine available, all part of the ticket price, I believe, from 7 o'clock. But it's made us think about poetry here in the studio. My favourite poem is Sir John Betjeman's A Lincolnshire Church. Greyly tremendous the thunder hung over the width of the wold. But here the green marsh was alight in a huge cloud cavern of gold. And Holly, yours?
The Road Not Taken, Robert Frost. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less travelled by, and that has made all the difference.
And Hannah, you rely on a Lincolnshire poet in your day job, sort of, don't you?
I do. Well, it's giving away a little bit of a secret, really, but when I start my herb walks up by the cathedral, I always start off by reading the inscription on the front of the Tennyson statue, which is Flower in the Crannied Wall, which is a beautiful little poem.
What a wonderful form of expressing yourself. Learning more about poetry, and indeed, as Felix was telling us, there are different forms of poetry that rhyme. And it's not just sitting at the back, as he said, listening to him reading his poetry. It's a whole presentation. You can get involved and you can learn much, much more about Felix's fabulous writing. Lincoln Drill Hall tonight at 8 o'clock. Doors open at 7. Meanwhile, back here, it's 5:36. Leanne Rimes there, and can't fight this feeling on Siren 107.3 FM. It's the midweek drive at 20 to 6 with Ed and with Hannah and Holly. And between now and the end of the programme, we'll be chatting to Phil Leonis, talking about Chill Pack Hollywood, The Lady Killers. Also, Alex has been finding out about a new audio production called Radio B. So it's perhaps not what you might expect on Drive Time, but we'll play that in. I was going to say put is the word. Put that in just before 7 o'clock. And a little more from Michelle Munro with another top selection from her father, Matt Munro's back catalogue, just before 6. We're talking about poetry today on the show, and tonight at the Lincoln Drill Hall at 8 o'clock, there's your chance to meet and hear from Felix Dennis, who's covering 30 venues across the UK in July, August and September and October as well. So if you love it tonight, you may be able to catch him elsewhere. And it's all so that he can talk to you, meet you, you can share his poetry, and also the launch of his new book, which is called Love of a Kind.
Love of a Kind is my seventh book of verse, and I began putting this together after I'd been diagnosed with throat cancer. And to be quite honest, I thought this would be the last book that I would ever see. I was pretty sure I wasn't going to make this. And I've had a couple of brushes with the Grim Reaper before, but never anything as serious as this. But anyway, to cut a long story short, the surgeons saved my voice, and all the treatments have saved my life, and here I am, and I hope soon to write other books. But my latest book is called Love of a Kind, and I will be reading quite a lot of poems from it tonight at the Drill Hall. And also, there are a lot of other books there, and they're all on sale for a fiver, and the brand new book is a tenner. So I've reduced all the prices so everyone can afford them.
That sounds an absolutely remarkable thing that you just said, Felix. In many people would perhaps just want to to give up or not be able to do something positive, so positive and creative at such a terrible time?
Well, I thought I was going, Ed. I did think I wasn't going to make it. It does sober you up a bit. In the end, you realise that probably the most important thing in your life is being kind to other people. That's really it. In the end, I think I'd swap almost all other attributes, positive and negative, for kindness, probably.
Felix Dennis, it's been a pleasure. Tonight at the Lincoln Drill Hall, you can find out more at lincolndrillhall.com. Tickets are £20, £10 concessions. Doors open at 7, and the poetry all gets underway at 8. Felix Dennis, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks so much indeed, Ed.
And what a superb, lovely chat to talk to you there, Felix Dennis. And if you miss him tonight in Lincoln, well, maybe you'd like to go on Saturday to Cheltenham to the Parabola Arts Centre, failing that next Tuesday in Amsterdam. Just places that you're likely to be passing, possibly. Paris next Thursday and then back in the UK for October. As I say, at the Lincoln Drill Hall tonight at 8 o'clock. A midweek drive through till 7 and Scritti Politti. Always wanted to say that on the radio, but now I have. And Oh Patty, Don't Feel Sorry for Love. Always important to get that last snare drum beat in there with Scritti Politti and Don't Feel Sorry for Loverboy. And now there's an issue that we're going to be addressing in just a moment. And yes, friends with benefits. A new study reveals that young Britain's love affair with no strings attached relationships is not just a fling. Apparently, according to new research, a third of young Britons have a friend with benefits, but over half of those are secretly longing for something much more serious. And a relationship charity is offering help guidelines for those considering friends with benefits relationships. So it's quite a serious issue. And some statistics have found that many more men are reporting having had a friend with benefits than women. 36%. This is of 16 to 24 year olds. There were a survey done of 1,000 young people between 16 and 24. 499 of the participants were males and 501 were female. So, and the survey was taken in April this year. So all pretty new. And we were chatting to a couple of people who've been focusing on this. We've been talking to Emma and also to Emma's colleague Hannah, and we'll be hearing from them in just a moment. But there's life left in the summer of 2013. There's still plenty happening in Lincoln. We've got a couple of things for you just in case you've missed them.
So couldn't you make it to the Albion Hall this year? Then why not join the Fosdyke Band as they play your prom favourites at the Terry O'Toole Theatre in North Highcombe? Enjoy a varied and entertaining programme of music, wave your flags and join in with the singing. A great evening's entertainment for all the family. That's next Saturday the 28th at 7:30 at the Terry O'Toole Theatre. Tickets £8, concessions £6.
Absolutely, and that's at the Terry O'Toole, and slightly closer to Siren FM and the City Centre. We've got an event up in Castle Square, I think, as well, Hannah.
Yes, on Sunday the 22nd, which is this coming Sunday, there's the Lincoln Antiques Fair, and it takes place from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. and it's an ideal opportunity to browse and buy antiques, art and collectibles. And it will feature antique furniture dealers, antique silver, pottery, porcelain and lots of other different types of antiques, including toys and retro and vintage items. And it's the perfect time to soak up the atmosphere of Castle Hill Square.
Thank you very much. 10 to 6 on Drive Time for a Wednesday, and all is fine and dandy on the roads. Just a little bit slow on the A57 towards Newland. So normal for this time of day. And hey, you drive safe, drive to arrive. That's what it's all about. Now, yesterday morning, Alex and I had a phone conversation with Emma Ruback and Hannah Green from OnePlus and YouthNet. And we were discussing the findings of a recent piece of survey done talking about the issue of what are friends with benefits?
In many ways, we've got a whole range of fairy tale relationships that perhaps the media is guilty of actually proposing and suggesting is actually the ideal. That's why it's always handy when you get a survey which goes into the way in which relationships actually operate. ICM recently surveyed 1,000 young people aged between 16 and 24 years, 499 male, 501 female, and actually came up with some fascinating lines about friends with benefits, a study which revealed that young Britain's love affair with no strings attached relationships is not just a fling. We're delighted to be able to discuss the findings of aforementioned study with two fabulous individuals. First of all, YouthNet's editor-in-chief, Ebba Rubak, and, of course, One Plus One's Hannah Green. Hannah, if we can come to you first. Relationships and this sort of survey, any surprises here?
Well, the research has shown that these friends with benefits relationships are really quite common. Actually, one in three young people admitted to having had a friends with benefit relationship at some point. It also shows that these relationships are complex. Just over half of these people wanted something more. You watch films like Friends with Benefits and No Strings Attached, and you see these fairy tale endings from these friends with benefits relationships.
When we're talking about young people, does that refer to under 25s, under 18s, under 50s? I mean, yeah, age is such a matter of numbers, really.
Well, our research was on young people aged 16 to 24.
Yeah, so fairly much, I would say, the likely next tranche of folk that are going to be making their way through the doors of universities up and down the land, doing A-levels and so on, and indeed, as you note in the study, probably have actually panicked their parents by saying, well, we're not going to go about doing a crazy Geordie Shore approach on this sort of thing. Let's bring in Ed Wellman. Ed, you've had a look at the study. Questions from yourself?
Yeah, I just wonder whether, in a way, some of the data has been taken from people who are being a bit bravo about this, and if they've been questioned, whether they've got a friend with benefits, and whether they're going to say yes when in actual fact they perhaps haven't. What do you think?
Well, the survey was actually anonymous, so there's no real reason for people to say that they have if they haven't. Mm. And actually, you know, a large proportion still did say that they hadn't had these relationships or didn't want to answer them. So it could be a little bit of pushing up, but it seems unlikely.
And how does it compare with maybe people in their 40s and 50s who are single? Do we know whether, you know, that's...
Do they not just have any relationships at all? I mean, it could be a different study, really. I don't know.
I'm afraid both of our specialism is in young people.
Makes sense.
So we haven't really asked the similar questions to people in their 40s and 50s
it's
just
the
yet.
Next survey, girls. It's the next survey.
We'll get on it.
Emma, if we can come to your good self, obviously you're heading up YouthNet's editorial team. You're responsible for overseeing the content of YouthNet's websites for young people. Mm-hmm. Fascinating range of experience that you've had freelancing for newspapers and press. I mean, were you surprised by this study, or did you think, yeah, okay, it kind of gels with my own experiences?
I guess I was a little bit surprised by the high number, but it definitely gels with my own experience. You can see people. So our website for 16 to 25 year olds is called thesite.org. We've got a discussion forum on there, and you can see people stretching back over a number of years discussing this type of relationship or sort of anti-relationship, non-relationship. And, you know, sometimes they're coming to us asking for advice because it's gone a bit wrong, because they expected something more, they wish for something more and it hadn't happened. Sometimes they're coming to the site because they actually want to get involved in a friends with benefits type relationship and they want to know how to go about it. It's definitely been going on for a while. It's not a new thing.
Most folk would say, including the government, that it's good to have relationships that work. Friends are good, friends are important. How can One Plus One actually help? And how has it been commissioned by the Department for Education to actually lead this campaign to encourage couples that see support as you know, and it's quite normal to actually say, look, we need help with this?
Yeah, we think it's really important to start young people thinking about the types of relationships that they're going to get into. Sort of our key advice would be for young people to know what they want and make a conscious decision before they enter into any sort of relationship. Those that are positive about the ideas of friends with benefits are more likely to have a positive experience.
We started off this piece by talking about the ideal, and I was fascinated to find that William and Kate are head of the list of celebrity relationships Britons would most likely to have, followed by Beyoncé and Jay-Z. I thought Beyoncé and Jay-Z had given up. They're still going, obviously.
I think they're still going.
Yeah, that's all right. It's important. But, I mean, again, in terms of that sort of notion of the ideal, is the media sometimes complicit? Are we complicit in setting sights too high for relationships?
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely. We were talking at the beginning of the interview about the sort of fairy tale ideal. And it is something that can cause problems in relationships because, or, you know, when you're looking for a relationship, because you have terribly high expectations and, you know, you want to be Will and Kate. But in fact, perhaps what you find happening is that you end up in a, or you get into a friend with benefits relationship because you haven't been able to talk about it with the person you're with. Maybe you really fancy them. Maybe you even love them a little bit, but you don't feel able to have that conversation. And so I think what we're here today to say is, you know, think about how you're feeling, and if you want more, try to talk to the other person about it.
And presumably if you wanted to be Will and Kate, you'd be into transgendered relationships, so you can't go there at this particular stage. Okay, coming to the end of this particular area, maybe you can. Hannah, first of all, we'll come to your good self. Is there a kind of initial sort of line that you'd say, yeah, this is a go-to website, or this is the best way to actually, if you're worried about this or you are concerned about being in a relationship which isn't working and it's a friends with benefits thing, etc., where should people go to?
Yeah, definitely. We're recommending that people go to the YouthNet site, thesite.org. It's a really good place. There's lots of forums for discussion and lots of advice as well.
And Emma, do you see yourself as an agony aunt in this particular area, or more kind of advisor in this field?
Well, the role of the site is to inform and advise young people to allow them to make the best choice for them. So I definitely wouldn't qualify myself as an agony aunt, but I am trained to moderate our discussion boards. Our discussion boards are a safe space where you can go and talk about anything that's bothering you at all, and you'll find other young people there discussing the same issues as you.
I think we'll be talking about this long into the programme and probably into the Midweek Drive, Ed, which you're anchoring at present, really. So I don't know if you've got any final sort of thoughts on this issue, Ed?
Only to say that, you know, friends are the best, aren't they? And we all have lots of them, probably more than we realise.
It was a great series in the 90s, but that's probably too long ago in the past, really. Two final questions for you, ladies. Emma Rubach and Hannah Green, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us here on the Midweek Drive today?
It's been wonderful.
Thank you.
Can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again in the not-too-distant future when we obviously deal with the more chronologically gifted or experienced and the enhanced end of the scale as well?
We'll see what we can do.
We'll look into it.
Do you jump for my love?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We've got a whole jump sequence in our routine, so perfect song for it, really.
That's very good, isn't it? I was reading an article in the Daily Telegraph this week about cheerleading. Whether it was a good thing or a bad thing, I was going to cut it out for you, but I forgot.
Oh.
So next week, we'll have an in-depth discussion about pros and cons of cheerleading.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Which could be quite apt, because it's Freshers Week at the university.
Yeah, Freshers Week starts next week. So the Lincoln Jets, which is the university cheerleading squad, will be looking for new fresh meat, as you would put, fresher, that's what they are.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. Wednesday the 25th in the engine shed is usually when the Sports and Societies Fair is. So if you're a new student coming to Lincoln University, head there and you'll find the Lincoln Jets there. If not, we've got the Cobra Elite Cheerleading, which is my own squad. So any interest with that, have a look on our website, www.cobraelitecheerleading.co.uk. Have a look on there. Contact us if you're interested. We've also got a showcase as well on the 15th of December, so that's quite a long time away yet, but our competition is before that in Blackpool on the 1st of December. That is the Northern Classic, which is going to be really good for us. It's our second competition, so hopefully we can get that first this time, as we came second on our previous.
When I saw some cheerleaders a while ago, probably a year ago now, I was absolutely stunned by the energy and the effort that went into it. It was just so much more energetic than I'd thought it was going to be, because I thought it's going to be a few people waving a few little bits and pieces around in terms of those, what do you call them, that you have in your hand?
The
pom-poms. So I'm no expert. But it was for people all over, airborne. And the people who are doing it, you know, you don't do it unless you're 100% into it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, performance-wise, in competition, the percentage that you can get from just performance is so easy. I mean, if you just go out there smiling and completely loving it, you'll get so many points, and that first position will be up there because it's just so easy to smile and put so much energy into it. And you need the energy to keep going, to be honest, because by the it's 2.5 minutes, the performance is. At the end of it, you're knackered. Right, just because of how much energy you've actually put into it. So.
Great stuff. So we'll be hearing about Cobra Elite next week, and also the university's own cheerleading activities for freshers of the University of Lincoln. Now, look, 6:09 it is, and high time I ask the question, at 6:09, what button shall I press?
The Michelle Monroe button.
Hello, it's Michelle Monroe sitting in the siren chair. And over the last month, I featured recordings from the new album, The Alternate Monroe. And for the next few weeks, I'm going to feature tracks from another new set, The Rarities Collection, which is an amalgamation of two previously released albums, The Rare Monroe and Matt Uncovered, The Rarer Monroe, both of which fell victim to the Universal's sale of EMI UK. We've even added a couple of extras not on those previous albums to make the project more interesting. This week, it's all the way back to 1961. Dad had just had a major hit with Portrait of My Love, an alternate version of which we played last week, and My Kind of Girl, when he was given his own radio series by the BBC, Matt's Kind of Music. The BBC, in their wisdom, taped over the series, but my father kept a few of the shows himself. This song comes from an edition recorded on the 28th of June and broadcast on the 25th of July 1961. Accompanied by Johnny Spence and newly restored and remastered by Richard Moore, here's Dad taking a chance on love.
When we have the conversation with Phil Leonis in a moment or two about the review of the show, I'm hoping that my choice of music in the last 3 minutes can be just carefully excluded from it. But there we are. I am a product of the 1980s, and there's quite frankly nothing wrong with listening to a bit of Tarzan Boy, our very own Tarzan Boy. Phil Leonis, sir, are you there?
Tarzan Boy is kind of standing out to me as the one sort of unfortunate musical selection today. Largely because it was my favorite, not my favorite, it was the favorite song of a roommate that I had when I was in graduate school.
Are you sure, Phil, it wasn't yours? There was a little bit of a slip there. That's
no, it wasn't. It wasn't. He listened to it on vinyl. He listened to it on vinyl. And the thing was, is that he was not a graduate student. I was. He actually was the dean of a community college, so he was old enough to know better at that point in terms of Tarzan Boy. And I want to put an end right now to the rumor that he was, in fact, a friend with benefits. He was simply my roommate.
Oh, well, so. we've been talking about this. I mean, I've had the conversation today with a couple of people, and they don't even understand what friends with benefits means. They think it's some
I naturally assumed that I'm many people's friend with benefits because I have such an extraordinary Blu-ray collection.
And I think
but that apparently is not what we're talking about.
We're not talking about it. I'm sure they do want to be friends with you, Phil. Everybody wants to be friends with you. But there we go. Yes, one of the things we've been talking about today. Anything else caught your audio fancy?
Well, I actually, this is really interesting, this combination threading through the show of this idea of friends with benefits and poetry and your musical selections. Seriously, I mean, I'm a product of the 80s. So what is so interesting, and even, unless I'm mistaken, wasn't the Pina Colada song late 70s?
Rupert Holmes there on late
70s,
Holmes, indeed.
Of course. Yeah. The brilliant Rupert Holmes. All your song selections seem to be directed straight at me so that I would be forced to confess my experiences of having friends with benefits.
Well,
because that was, you played basically the soundtrack of those relationships today on the show.
Well, it's that great transatlantic meeting of minds or something that Alex has set up, and it's just there, and we've all kind of linked in with that. But we've got Hannah, District Herbalist, who you've met before, Phil, in the studio, also Holly. So, yeah, any views to share? I mean, either way, are we going to go east to west, or should we go west to east? Who's going to start with a question?
Me, don't I will.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So what's been going on in the Chilpack Hollywood area this week?
Now, there's a big question.
I wish we, you know, we're still playing catch up. We spent all of August shooting a feature film, and we did not miss any weeks. I mean, knock on wood, we're now into our seventh year, and we've never missed a week of doing a show. It did prove to be a challenge, however, and so many of our shows were pastiches of interviews called audio postcards, as Alex and Ed would call it, from location where we were making our movies. But so the last 2 weeks we've been back to really doing what we do best, which is looking at whatever's going on in the world and eyeing it through the view of how it's depicted in the media. And so we've had a lot to catch up on. On this week's show, I was particularly taken by the anger and the vitriol that was expressed in this country in the immediate aftermath of our new Miss America being crowned. And because apparently this woman, according to many people watching the show, not only is not American, though she was born in Syracuse, New York, but was in fact an Arab and a terrorist, although she is of Indian descent. And again, did I mention she was born in Syracuse, New York? So I was really taken by that on this show, and really looking at, boy, what people can get away with writing and posting, not even anonymously, using their own accounts on Twitter and Facebook, and how much hatred can be expressed. And fortunately, Dean was the one who pointed out to me that perhaps I should stay calm, because maybe it's not really all that surprising that a pageant that is still based on the objectification and exploitation of women would attract people who are prone to closed-mindedness, racism, and anger. And he had a very, very good point. So once he pointed that out, we went on with, you know, discussing show business and movies and the stuff that we usually do.
Phil, what's the reaction been? Clearly, it was very shocking and upsetting to see another shooting. How's the reaction to that been?
Well, my reaction or the reaction of people, you know...
Generally.
My reaction is that it's not generally shocking, and what I get upset about is how upset and shocked people do get, and yet no change ever happens. And of course, we will take a time, as we do on Chilpack Hollywood, to get to know a little bit. I always do research whenever these things happen to find out what I can about the people who died, because this so quickly becomes always a topic about, you know, a debate, a never-ending and never-improving debate over guns. And what never gets discussed is that there were actual people involved.
Exactly, because the issue seems to take over in the news coverage. That, you know, immediately something happens, then it goes straight on to the issue rather than the people.
Right, and even the person who is behind it. I mean, yes, there is one person who we believe, one shooter. So there's one person who is guilty of committing this horrible act. And at the same time, the responsibility, as I always say, lies with all of us, because that person who committed that is another person that we let slip through the cracks. He's another person that we allowed to get to the point where he believed that taking a gun and going in and doing this would somehow address whatever it was that he was feeling inside. And answering things like that until we all collectively as a community realize that we're responsible for making sure this doesn't happen again. And yes, maybe gun regulations have a part to play in that, but also doing the hard work of rolling up our sleeves and looking at all the feelings and the feelings of powerlessness that go into inspiring someone to violence of any stripe. Until we do that work, we're never going to have, never mind a culture free of violence, we're never going to have a healthy culture. And really, that's the goal. It's not just to do away with incidents like this, it's actually to start promoting healthy decisions and greater responsibility.
Good points there. Good points, Phil. On my list of instructions, it says at 6:35, it will be Phil Leonis with more production news of The Lady Killers. And as always, Lady has got a small case L, then there's a gap, and Killers with a capital K. How's it all going, Phil?
You know what? I started shooting. I started shooting the movie yesterday. No, I started editing the movie. We shot the movie in August. Oh, boy, I hope none of my producers are listening to this. They'll think, what? What was he doing all of August?
We know. You're all right.
I started editing the movie last night, and it was such a thrill. Often when you get into the editing room, the first thing you start to notice are the problems. And it can be a daunting task. But this was extraordinary. From the outset, I realized that I have all the pieces that I need. And actually, I am reminded, Ed Wellman, of my favorite line of poetry. And that is from E.E. Cummings. And it's, I'd rather learn from one bird how to sing than teach 10,000 stars how not to dance. And so much of the film business and show business is actually teaching people how not to dance. And I've got to say, I felt last night in the editing room that I'm finally learning how to sing.
Has the poem ended? Oh, I see, yes. That you flowed on so beautifully there, Phil. That could have been part of the poem.
Oh, well, it is. We are all a living poem.
Yes, I'm going to text
that. It's going
that.
Well, and for people who would like to learn more about it, of course, there is a website, theladykillersmovie.com, and it's a delicious and disturbing dark comedy that we're making, and I think it really does have the chance to be that rarity, a dark comedy that resonates with people for many years, maybe even decades after its initial release, and it's really about a lot of important issues, while at the same time being sexy, creepy, scary, disturbing fun. So I hope people will learn about it, and we'll talk more about it, obviously, in the weeks to come.
We indeed will. Now, Phil, we're going to have to let you go, actually. I mean, not forever. We're not sacking you or anything like that. But you are the warm-up act to Katie Grimson today, who's warming up the phone lines from Birmingham. She's going to join us between now and 7. So it has been superb. I do have one thing to do, though, as a result of our conversation. I must text Alex later. I'm just going to put, we are all a living poem, which I think is a very lovely thing to say. So thank you for your time. Thank you for joining us, Phil.
May I just introduce Katie by saying that I am honored to count Katie as one of my friends, and I liked something that you said on the show earlier. You know what? There is nothing but benefits of having friends. That's the reason I don't like that phrase.
Uh-huh.
All friendships are beneficial, and that, after all, is why Emerson wrote that nature's true miracle is a friend. So thank you, Ed, for giving me some time, and I look forward to hearing my friend Katie on the show.
She'll
right
be on
after me.
Soon. Cheers. Phil, last two questions for Phil, please. Hannah?
Phil, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
It has been unreasonably interesting. That's how
And can we look forward to speaking to you again in the near future, hopefully next week?
I will definitely be on. Whether or not you can look forward to it is really a matter for your own conscience.
Fantastic.
So round of applause for the Leonismeister.